We are going to do things the old-fashioned way. I have this teaching that we're not going to do, because I really knew during worship that I wasn't supposed to do it. So, many of you haven't brought your Bibles for a while because the screen is behind me. Well, that screen is going to be blank. But I'm going to read to you John 14, the first six verses. Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Lord, speak to us this morning. Let us understand how to apply these verses to our lives. A couple weeks ago, Lord, I spoke on 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, where you say, the greatest thing is love. Lord, let us walk in that. Let us fear you, as Tom said. That doesn't mean we cower in the corner fearing of a spiritual boogeyman. But it means, Lord, we revere you. We honor you. That everything in my life has to have with my eyes set on you, Lord. And I pray, Father God, that we would love you and love our neighbor as ourselves, Lord. Father, I just thank you what you're doing in this church and you're doing in our lives. And I just pray that you would move powerfully, Lord. In your name, amen. Yeah, I was going to start a teaching on spiritual gifts. I'll probably look to do that next week. But, you know, I just really want to encourage us about faith and about letting go and trusting Jesus. You know, as you know, about a month ago, we hired somebody else to be the principal. And she just felt like she wasn't supposed to do it. So I was meeting with Dave Peretti about it, and some of the people, I understand, they were a little unnerved by that. I'm no superstar, but I had total peace about it. And I went and I talked to Dave about it, and he said, you know, God's going to move. You know, and you can't make something happen in God's timing. Now, it doesn't mean you just lollygag and sit back. But you trust God. So God did provide this woman, you know, Jennifer. Her husband's on the school board, and they've been a great blessing. So the point I'm making is, you know, Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't worry about tomorrow, because today has enough worries of its own. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I got to tell you, I struggle with that verse. I can tell you that. I'm the pastor. I can read from the Bible. Do not worry about tomorrow. I worry about tomorrow, and I throw the next day in on top of that. But what God is saying is, no, man, I got this. I have you. And I love Thomas. You know, I love reading some of the responses of the disciples. Of you look at Peter and you can say, what a knucklehead. But if we're honest, we are too. I mean, I'm glad I wasn't alive and a disciple back then, because it would say all the stupid questions that I had for God. So Thomas goes, Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. Jesus says, man, I'm the way. So I don't know where you are today. But you got to make Jesus Christ the center of your life. You know, I'm going to be talking next week from 1 Corinthians 12. And that whole book, what Paul is doing is he's correcting the Corinthians. And part of what it is they had a belief system, some of them did, that the like Gnosticism, the more you knew, that you got to a higher level with God. So if you were at this higher level of wisdom, you didn't really have to worry about how you lived because you're at this other plane. And I love Paul. You know, look at Paul, who was a very learned man, say, hey, you know what? God chose the foolish things of the world. Hey, I can attest to that because I love you guys. A lot of you are foolish. Well, I mean, me too. But you know what's cool about that? People are going to see Jesus in us. They're not going to see our gifts, our abilities, our whatever, but they're going to see Jesus. And you know, during worship, I was struggling because I had my teaching down, and I'm a line upon line guy. And I remember years ago, we had a guy named Denny Kramer here. I was pastoring in Copenhagen, and he was praying for me, and he was encouraging me that, you know, sometimes that you're going to have your teachings down, because I went to Bible school, and I know what you're supposed to do. I took two or three sermon classes, so I knew how to do my prepositional statement, whatever that means, and all this stuff. He goes, but sometimes you're going to have to teach extemporaneously. I said, okay, yeah, that's cool. Then he left, and I said, Mel, what's that mean? Like I said, I'd be a fool for Jesus. It's like the first class I took was a preaching class, and I was talking to Peter Mary, and he said, oh, you should have taken a class on, I think he said, homiletics. I said, oh, I didn't. I took a preaching class. Yeah, Bill. And he goes, it's the same thing. Well, then say preaching, okay? Don't use the $10 words because that ain't me. So God is encouraging you today. And maybe this is something you've known forever, but God's saying, man, I want you in my hand. I want you to trust me in a new way. And some of you today, God is saying, it's time to quit playing. You know, I've given the testimony probably too many times of how God supernaturally healed me, but what he did that weekend above everything else was he spoke to me, are you going to give me your life? And I know the words he said to me as I prayed, I just felt this impression. He's saying, are you done playing games? Because I was good. You should have seen me Sunday mornings. I was a good Christian. I was super Christian, man. I would have had a cape. I would have had a white suit on. Look like John Travolta and Stand Alive. But anyways, but then come the weekend, Saturday night and Friday night, it was a different story. And God said, are you ready? Are you ready to give me your life? See, it wasn't about the miracle. It was about me having a healed heart. So then we go on to probably one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I'm reading from the ESV. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So if you're really not doing God's thing, how'd you like that? You're out. But if you're in, he's going to prune you. I am not a tree hugger. But I remember in the 70s, I'm in high school, and I'm watching PBS, and they're talking about how trees are real, and they're alive, and if you could hear them, they could scream, you know? And I'm touched by this crap, I mean, this idea. And there's a tree that I used to just level my BB gun into, you know? So I go in the backyard, sorry about that. And as soon as I said it, that's probably one of the stupidest things you've ever done in your life. So anyways, if you're a good plant and you know how to be a gardener, and I don't, if you need any questions, Randy's over here. You cut it sometimes, you cut it back. Like we have this tree out front, two trees, and last year I pruned them and it looked really bad. Man, you should see how much they came back. So God loves me so much that even though I think I'm doing good, it's pruning time, Beaumont, and he gets his spiritual pruning shears out, and he starts clipping away and just having a good old time with me. So why? Because he loves me. Because God looks at us and says, I look at the part of your life that isn't going to point people to me, and I'm going to take that away. And can I say something, church? I'm not going to mention names. I just read this week, pastor I dearly respect had to step down because of sins from years ago. God ain't playing with this church. If you look at the mighty churches, the big mega churches that are falling by the wayside, why? God is not playing. You have to abide in Jesus Christ. You have to focus on him. When you leave New Covenant Community Church, we have missed the mark if you think of a person rather than what God has done. That during worship today was marvelous. God touches your heart and encourages you. Or if you hear a teaching and say, man, you know what? I need to make God the center of my life. And that's what my encouragement for you today. That's what I want to just encourage you about. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. And, you know, I just want to encourage you to give your all for Jesus. Like yesterday, we had an impromptu work day at the church. I do want to thank Randy and Jeff because they had to work tons of hours this week to make the stage ready. But, you know, Leighton Smith comes in. He goes to Elam. They have Servants' Hearts North. And so what they're doing is they're doing the staging. They're doing all this work. And the only thing we're paying for is the materials, because God has told them, build the kingdom. Now, obviously, we're going to pay more. We're going to give them some donations. But the exciting thing is, and why I do want to talk about different gifts in the coming weeks, is God has gifted all of you. So you need to abide in him. I get jealous of people that don't sweat. So you can abide in him, be who God called you to be. Because one thing that 1 Corinthians 12 talks about, I'm sorry, some of the unglamorous parts of your body you need. If that's not true, I'd encourage you to go home this afternoon, you know, take your husband's big toes, cut them off, and see how he lives without those. Because that's how, or cut their thumbs off. Or men, you can do that to your wife. Because I know that's a stupid thing to say, but sometimes we look at certain things. You know what's most powerful as a pastor? And I've been doing this 37 years, is when people come to me and say, man, you know what? This person talked to me after church and really encouraged me. Or they prayed for me for a brief period of time. And I just want to encourage you that God is telling us it's time to rise up. It's time to abide in him. It's like today, I struggled because I knew during worship I wasn't supposed to do my teaching. That makes me uncomfortable. But where are you taking a risk for Jesus? You see, living by faith means you're not going to be comfortable. So God wants us to abide in him. I know it's going to be a little short today, but John 7, I'm not going to go there. Is your foundation built on the world? If you don't have Jesus Christ as the center of your life, when hard times come, the storm, he says it's like somebody that builds their house on the sand. It might look really cool. I remember one of the times I was on a missions trip to Ghana, and I spoke at Pastor Patrick's church, and it was a cool church. It was a pavilion with no walls, and we're right on the beach. Now, it is so cool to be preaching, and like where the kitchen is or whatever, you see fishermen and you see the ocean, and that was really cool. But you don't want to build your house there. Because if you have faith in anything other than Jesus Christ, when life gets hard, you're not going to have a foundation. You're not going to have the reality spiritually, because God made us to have a relationship with him. And the only way we can do that is through his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus goes on to say, but if you built your house on the rock, which is him, the storms are going to come. I'm not going to embarrass people. I could, but we've had people the last few years, they've gone through some very heavy things. But they stand because their life is Jesus Christ. Let me end with John 7:21. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, Did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So would you bow your heads with me? Lord, the older I get, the more I see my need for you, the more I am reminded of the areas in my life in the past that I did it my way and the pain it caused to myself and to other people. I love your word, Lord, that you tell us in this world we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have hardship. That's because we live in a world that's broken off relationship with you through the sin of Adam and Eve. But then you say, Lord, and I love this, you have overcome the world. Lord, it doesn't mean we're not going to have anguish. It doesn't mean we're not going to grieve. It doesn't mean we're not going to battle depression at times. But what it does mean that deep down within me, I know I am in the hollow of your hands. I know that I don't have to succumb to my emotions, even though they're real. But my foundation is in you. I abide in you, Lord. And somehow, I know I'm going to pull through. Yes, there are seasons of hardship. It doesn't go away at the wink of an eye or the snap of a finger. But you tell us that you will never leave us or forsake us. And your word tells us that God is love. Father, you know what love is because you created it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever should believe in him shall not perish but have life eternal. That word belief means surrender, to know that you're Lord, to repent and give you our lives. And I pray for that today, Lord. Maybe that some people here have never done that. Let them do that right now. And Lord, for those of us who have done it, let us do it again. Let us recommit our life to you and say, you know what, God, I've been lagging a little bit. I've been kind of pulled back a little bit, but I'm going to be all in for you, Jesus. So, Lord, I pray for comfort for those that are in need this morning. I pray that you would move powerfully, Lord Jesus, and I pray that we would all say yes and amen to knowing you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no one enters heaven except through you. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Blessings.